The remnant and election. Very important that you know what the purpose of these particular people, this group of people, happens to be. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Minor Prophet, the great book of Amos. Amos, just following the book of Joel, which gives us the swarmers and the four very stages of the locust. Amos chapter 5, we're going to pick it up with verse 6. Amos and the Minor Prophets, just following the book of Joel. And Joel following Hosea, and Hosea, so forth. Daniel, right there in the Bible. Okay, and Amos chapter 5, verse 6, and it reads, "Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel." Bethel, of course, in the Hebrew tongue means the house of God. It had kind of gone sour there, and maybe like today, sometimes you have to look real hard, not judging, but sometimes it's hard to find the Word of God taught there chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Verse 7, "Ye who turn judgment to wormwood," that's you make it bitter, "and leave off righteousness in the earth," verse 8, "seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." That's Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. What does Orion signify in the Star Bible, so to speak, for what it's worth department? It means the Redeemer breaking forth as light. It means the return of the branch. It means you're getting close to that time. That being the significance of that great warrior Orion. Verse 9, "that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong." He takes care of his own. "So that the spoiled shall come against the fortress." And the God's elect are so blessed. 10, "they hate him that rebuketh in the gate." That is to say that the people today rebuke the judge that judges honestly. "And they abhor him that speaketh uprightly." If you're teaching the truth, you're going to have bad rumors spread about you. So what? As long as you please God, it doesn't matter what Satan thinks. Or you keep plowing and you plow deep. You keep in the Word of God and you can't go too far wrong. Why? He will bless you. He will further you. You'll always come out on top. "Well, I have a little bit of trouble." Well, hey, that's why God chose the elect. We're tough. When it's too rough for anybody else to plow, bring it on. We like it. We plow deep, and we can handle any situation that comes up knowing he's behind us, with us, over us, around us, and we're going through. No, there's no, not even, that is not up for grabs. We've got it made. So with his help, certainly. And those that do hate honest judgment and so forth. Verse 11, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, you keep trumping on them, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you tax him to death, you have built homes of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. You rip the people off during the time of Orion and during the time of this sign. You're not going to live long enough to enjoy it. The end's coming. The bright one is on his way. That is to say, the branch. And he makes all things right. Even today, he watches over his election. He gives you that victory. Verse 12, I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. You can buy them. Okay? And they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. You've got people that are in Congress supposed to be representing you. A lot of them go back as lobbyists. and sell out. Okay. Right down, I mean, not looking out for the benefit of the people of this nation. Whereby we're coming to that point that it makes it very difficult if you don't plan ahead. But when you're doing what's right, you're going to be blessed because God is there with you. This particular ministry is an example of that. Everybody else is crying hard times. We're overflowing with blessings from our Father. Why? We're not going to take a bribe. We're not going to be persuaded from teaching God's Word straight on line, truth on truth, fact on fact, giving facts enough that a person can utilize common sense and overcome those that Satan and his little tricks in the minds of evil people. Seek good, not evil. 13, therefore the prudent, that's the wise, shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. You know when you're supposed to be delivered up and what you're supposed to say. That is to say, who's going to speak through you? The Holy Spirit. Verse 14, seek good. Always look for that. And not evil. That you may live. And we're talking here not living in the flesh from one day to the next. We're talking about eternal life in a spiritual body that knows no pain, no age, and has the hand of God. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, that's the God of the whole big multitude, shall be with you as ye have spoken. And so it is. You claimed it. God taught it through the prophets. That's the way it is. End of story. So how precious our Father is. Verse 15, hate the evil. Well, I didn't know God wanted us to hate. Hate the evil and love the good. And establish judgment in the gate. You do what is right. The gate was a place of judgment. You understand that's like the courthouse down on the square now. That's when it took where it took place then. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. What is that remnant? Well, it's a remnant that he set aside. That has been from the beginning of time. That God had this remnant. He chose them even before the foundations of this earth age. As it is written in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. I knew you. I chose you before the foundations of the earth. Or as it reads in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. Why? We all come from God. Our souls do. And while you were in your mother's womb, he said to Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet. And boy, what a prophet he was. So always hate evil, seek good, do what's right. God takes care of his remnant. One more verse. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandman, that's the farmer, to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation and wailing. In other words, when that time comes, it's going to be a sad day. You be quiet a moment until God speaks through you. That's what we lead up to. Now go with me to Isaiah, the great book of Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 46. The subject being the remnant of Joseph. That is to say, Joseph is the natural name for all 12 tribes of Israel. Even before they split into the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 1. I want you to know something. This happens to deal with Babylon. Babylon means confusion. If you want to say, well, where's Babylon today? I don't know. How many people do you know that are confused? It's all around you. Babylon is everywhere except for God's remnant, his elect, that do know the truth. Verse 46, verse 1. Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle, your carriages were heavy laden, they are a burden to the weary beast. they've got so many hang-ups, false teachings, false religions. So it's not like God that can, who is I am that I am. He can be wherever he wants to, whenever he wants to. You got to haul these around, drag them with you. You got to drag something with you to worry about even. I just have to worry something. Why? God's on the throne. You're one of his children. Why do you want to worry? We win. We've got the victory. So what are you worried about? Get rid of it. Throw it away. And know that you have no part of Babel. God is not the author of confusion, Babel, but peace. And that peace of mind is what gives you rest, especially in this day and every day. Verse 2, they stooped, they bowed down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. They're so confused into lies and traditions of men, even men telling them, you don't have to understand God's word. You're going to fly away like a big bird. There's just one problem. That is not written. It's not in God's word. So where did it come from? We all know where it came from, in the year of 1832, from a sick mind. But it made an easy out that preachers could grab onto, rather than teaching the word of God. Verse 3, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. That's all 12 tribes, the natural seed, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. Remnant, those chosen, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Now, wait just a minute. What did he say there? He said, the remnant I carry from the womb all the way through. All you got to do is recognize it, know it, and read the word enough that you understand who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. That way you have a purpose and a destiny. Fantastic to know that God is with you. That's the remnant. That's why the remnant and election are ever so important. Well, does that mean they're better than anybody else? No. It means that in the first earth age when Satan rebelled, they stood against him then, and God knows he can trust you to do it again. You're not going to let him get into your mind, your being, or anywhere else. You're going to serve the living God. You're going to find peace of mind. You're going to be happy. Why? Because you have the Father, and we win. But God's election helped take care of the others that are lost. That's why you teach the word of God, not to the elect that know the word, but to the lost that need the word, that need help. That's why you must always teach on three levels, as though you're going to have people hearing you for the first time, that they can make sense of that word, the simplicity in which Christ teaches, where it edifies, makes better your life, your very being. How precious it is. God carries you from the womb all the way through if you are remnant. For, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to Horehaz, that's gray-headed, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. They can pack around a load of trouble if they want to. They can hire beasts to drag it. False teachings, hang-ups, idols, idol worship, false religion. But God says, lean on me, I'll carry you. So what have you got to worry about? If you truly serve God and he's carrying you, taking care of you, well, I still have that trouble. Kick it out of the road. He knows you can. He's not going to let anything happen to you that you can't handle. And kind of the tougher it is, the more he knows you can handle. Verse 5, to whom will you liken me and make me equal? Compare me that we may be like. Who do you think is equal to God? I hope you don't think anyone is. They lavish gold out of the bag. They weigh silver in the balance and hire a blacksmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down. Yea, they worship. They worship money. They worship security. But they don't worship God, who formed the very things they're worshiping. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. He can't walk. And he standeth from his place, shall he not remove. Why? It's a chunk. Okay. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. You're wasting your time, is what he's saying. Absolutely, you mess around with traditions of men and false teaching, you are absolutely wasting your time. Why? Because God's not going to hear you. He wrote you this letter, and he wrote it to you. It is written to you for you to edify yourself, to rightly divide it, to improve your life. And if you are too lazy to read it, to study it, then poor you. You missed the boat. So if he cared enough for you to write you a letter, at least read it. And read it with understanding, if that be possible at all. False religions will not help you one iota, and God will not hear you when he wrote you the letter himself. Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. You better think about it, you wavering minds, is what he said. Well, I just thought this way, and then I thought that way, and then brother so-and-so said this, and another good brother over here said something. Why aren't you listening to men? Listen to your father. That's who you should listen to. Men will lead you astray. You should. It's all right to listen to men, but check them out in God's word. Remember the great book of Jeremiah, where it is written, cursed be the person that puts their trust in man instead of God. You're headed for trouble. Verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, emphatic, okay, and there is none like me, for emphasis. 10, declaring the end from the beginning. I give you prophecy. There's nothing new under the sun. Have you read it? Do you know what tomorrow brings? If you've read his word, you pretty well do. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasures. It's going to happen exactly the way I direct it to. That's what he's saying. 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Who was this man from the east? Well, his name was, it meant son in the Hebrew tongue, and God named him. God gave him that name, S-U-N, like the sun in the sky. God named him Cyrus. Do you know who he was? He was a Persian. Well, tell me this, what has that got to do with anything? That's Iran, friend. That's Iran of today. Trouble coming from the east. Go to the Euphrates River and look east. The locusts are swarming. He told you that in the book preceding this one, Joel, the book of Joel. Go there. Kedem is the Hebrew word. It means don't just look east from here. Kedem means it looks east from the geographical location given, which is to say the Euphrates. Well, if there's trouble, what do you see when you look east from the Euphrates? Well, I don't know. There's Iraq, Afghanistan. There is Pakistan. There is Turkey, there's the Kurds, there's the Sunnis, there's the Shiites. 145 people killed in the last 2 days in the place we were supposed to have brought peace and pulled out, from Basra even up north. Look east from there. But where is this trouble coming from? Before this man God named and used him, what happens in the end times to this one that comes from Persia? I don't know. It's not looking right real good. I'm talking about Iran. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. You want to weigh these things quite well. It is written, it shall come to pass as it is written. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. I'm going to bring that peace. Are you with it? Can you absorb it? Come out of confusion. Do you know what the word Zerubbabel, which you read of in Haggai and the Zerubbabel in the book of Zechariah, he's the one that holds the plumb bob. It means born out of coming out of Babylon. You were born into it, but you come out of it, come out of confusion. And you hold that plumb bob that has the seven eyes, which is the 7,000, which means in numerics, spiritual completeness. And you follow the living God. Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Romans chapter. We're going to go to 9. Romans chapter 9. God's purpose for his elect. Romans chapter 9, let's pick it up with verse 4, if we may. Verse 4 reads, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Who are they? Okay. Verse 5, whose are the fathers, that's to say the patriarchs, all 12 of them, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, that's what's important, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. In other words, through that lineage came Christ, and in Christ is the Savior of all people. I don't care what race you're of, what nation you're from, he's the Savior to all. That's the whole purpose, is love and understanding in this nation. 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken non-effect, that it's flawed, it's not. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall the seed be called. Verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, wait a minute. What promise was that? Genesis chapter 21, verse 7. Sarai, 90 years old, wanting a child so bad she could hardly stand it. And God, of course, said, you're going to have a child. And she laughed. And, you know, and the child's name is Isaac. Do you know what Isaac means in the Hebrew tongue? Laughter. Because his mother laughed. And it is a mark of that people. If they get in a hard spot, they'll giggle or laugh or something when other people might freeze up. The children of the promise, that through them would come the 12. And through the 12, the promise of the seed of Christ, which opens salvation for every living being that loves him, follows him, and wants him. Verse 9 to continue. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. 11. For the children, these twins in her womb, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, I want you to underline that in your mind, according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, he that did call. What did he say about these two? Well, how could he know them? Well, they were with him. They came from him. One he loved and one he hated. Why? Because one of them was no good. One of them cared less about his parents. Just go on. I don't care about anybody. That was Esau. Okay. Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, and it's no wonder. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Well, do you mean to tell me God could hate someone? If it comes to misleading his children, you bet. There's one thing God can hardly stand, that's a false preacher. That's why Christ, in one of his first things, when in Mark 13, Matthew 24, when he said, how's it going to be at the end? He said, you be real careful because many are going to come in my name claiming to be Christian preachers. Don't let them deceive you. Well, how can I tell? This word, this letter that he has written to you, it's pretty simple. A child can understand it if you'll listen to it rather than the traditions of men. 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Esau got everything he's got coming to him, okay? He got what he deserved. And do you know something? Each of us do today. We get what we deserve. God knows what you deserve, and you can rest assured you're going to get it. If it's blessings, be blessed. If he wants to whomp your gourd, thump it, then you better say, thank you, Father. I needed that big time. And check out the word. 15, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He goes on and he talks about Pharaoh. He said, hey, I hardened his old heart. Why? To save the children. Okay. I'll use whom I want to use. He said, I take the same lump of clay in this same chapter. For the sake of time, I'm going to talk you through some of it. He says in the Greek, he said, hey, I can take that same lump of clay, and if I want to make a flower pot that's beautiful, I'll make it. And if I want to make a potty chamber out of the same lump, I'm going to do it. So God's in control. He's the potter. And his election, he will. Why can God manage the elect? Because they overcame in the first earth age. They'll still pay for their sin here. But he knows he can trust them. They're not about to bow to Baal. They're going to stick with the word. He can trust them, and they'll get it done. Skip on to verse 25. And he said also in Hosea, that means salvation in the Hebrew tongue, I will call them my people, which were not my people. I will call them Ammi. And her beloved that was not beloved, her that was Lo Ruhama, I will call Ruhama. I'll love her. I'm quoting from Hosea, okay, in the Hebrew tongue. 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And so it is. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. There is that remnant. He always trusts them. He always uses them. They have a purpose. They have a destiny. And they have many of them have known there was more to God's word than they had been taught since they were children. And then they come into that beautiful truth of God's hand. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, expect the Lord of Sabbath. That means rest in the Hebrew tongue. The Lord of rest have left us as seed. We have been as Sodom and had been as a Gomorrah. Well, look around you today, my friend. I mean, when you get too much of Baal, Sodom and Gomorrah always pops back up again. You don't have to look very far to see what's happening. You know, some churches even like to put Sodom and Gomorrah in leadership. What do they think God's going to say about that? I certainly hope they're not expecting blessings from God, because they're not going to get them. It's going to be quite the opposite. That's why God's truth is so important to you. Do it His way and be blessed. Hunt and seek the good and leave that evil alone. Stay true to Him. He will always bless you. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. You want to know who Paul was? You want to know his actual genealogy? Well, let's learn. Chapter 11, the book of Romans, verse 1. I say then, Paul talking, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. No way. For I also am an Israelite. He's of the house of Israel, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was a Benjamite. Don't ever let anybody twist you on that. It's plain, it's simple. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What does that mean? Knew from before. They were with him. Know ye not what the scriptures say of Elias? That's to say Elijah in the Hebrew tongue. How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, I mean, it was so bad all around Elijah because of a bad queen and others that Sodom and Gomorrah was happening all over again, right in his presence. Verse 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. They wanted to kill old Elijah, but God wouldn't let them. But what saith the answer of God unto him? This is important. Listen up. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. There's no gender there. That's human beings who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, nor are they ever about to. When the false Christ comes, they will not bow to him. They will not give to him. They will stand against him. That's the purpose of election. That's the purpose of God's remnant, bringing the truth down through the years, that those with ears to hear and eyes to see could see that truth and understand the plan. For God does have a plan. Are you in it? That's the problem. Everyone is, but where is your place? You have to find it. Verse 5, even so, then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There always has been, there always will be. What is the remnant? The remnant is people such as Paul that brought the story, the true story, down where man can't change it. With the Masora, the original footnotes, when you have a copy of them, nobody can change the word on you. You spot it just like that. And you know it can't be changed. And it's always with us, that truth, the word directly from our Heavenly Father. So that remnant brings that forth truth to God's elect in the last generation. As it is written, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work. In other words, God does the calling on the remnant and the election. End of story. That's it. Work and grace. Well, what does he do to them if they don't work just right? He will thump their gourd big time. Okay, he will shake them. Why? They're his. They know better. He will correct them, I mean, big time. That's the way he operates. That's your Father. He likes discipline. And he always equips us and puts us through, and even in younger life, how to be disciplined and to follow him. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. They can't see. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. That word in the Greek is stupor. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. That, don't try to cast your pearls before a swine if it's somebody that's not supposed to hear. They're not going to hear. Because God himself blinded them. Why? He doesn't want them to be responsible for bowing to the Antichrist. If they do it in ignorance, there's forgiveness. God loves his children. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block. And a recompense unto them, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. Why? They won't listen. But there's a purpose even for that, and it's a beautiful thing. I say then, hath they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. He has a purpose. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, salvation open to everyone after the crucifixion? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul was given a three-dimension ministry. Both to the Gentile Israel and the kings and queens. 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them, just maybe. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? It'll be precious. God has a plan of salvation. It's difficult for some to understand sometimes why we go through what we go through, but there's a purpose for it. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And God is the pruner, okay? Christ is that branch. How precious is the word of God that he gives us truth. He gives us guidance. Destiny, God's purpose, there is always a remnant, and the election. It's what God utilizes to make sure this word comes to pass as it's written. Therefore, Christ has sit down at the right hand of God and will stay there until his enemies are made his footstool. Who do you think he's going to use to put those enemies under his feet? He's going to use his elect as they witness against him, as they stand against him. In closing, go to Revelation chapter 12. It is written, and it shall come to pass. Revelation chapter 12 lets you know that Satan and all his angels are going to be cast out in this generation. He's coming as the false Messiah to deceive those that haven't read this letter. What part then would God's election have to do within this? The last verse of chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon, that's Satan, was wroth with the woman, that's Mother Israel, that's our people, and went to make war with the remnant. There's your remnant again. Who is Satan going to make war with? Everyone? No, the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, which do what? Which keep the commandments of God. They teach his word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so it is that God's election and God's elect have a purpose and a destiny. It's really quite simple. is simply to love our Father, but also to love the people of the world. And when you feel compassion for people being misled, mistreated, used, and really just lied to, it hurts. That's one of the signs of God's elect, is to have compassion on those that don't know. You know, if you ever hear one of God's elect say, "I just want to be in the deep stuff." Well, deep what? Like the lake of fire? Are you forgetting what you came here for? Are you forgetting the purpose of the election? It's to reach the unsaved. So you've got to teach on those three levels. Anytime you pull away from that, when we broadcast, we have to know there are several hundred that will hear us for the first time. And 400 to 500 of them will touch base with us. 25% of those will stay with us. That's a lot of growth. It's because of God's Word and His duties that He places upon us to teach His Word and to do it faithfully. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for that written letter. We thank You for Your Word, Father. Be with us and be with everyone in this congregation and the audience. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
It purifies the grape juice. Grape juice has got junk in it. Trash and everything else. When it ferments, it comes to the top, they skim it off, and it becomes pure. That's what it means, the blood of Christ. Your pastor shouldn't pass off some trashy juice for the pure blood of Christ, symbolically speaking. Teresa from Virginia. "Pastor, I was recently visited by a local church, and I invited them in to plant some seeds. Is this okay, a thing to do? I appreciate your program. Keep up the good work." Well, we're going to. Hey, whatever God leads you, if God leads you to do a thing like that, hey, go for it. All right, that's that's fine. And praise God. Maybe they listen. Maybe a seed grew. Russell from Tennessee. "Pastor Murray, can you please explain to me predestination? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him should not perish, but have eternal life." This word that is utilized here and translated eternal, meaning from the time in the first earth age that the soul was created, it does not cease existing, even into the eternity. Means a great more than just have eternal life. Eternal means from the beginning of creation. So really, there's no pre-existence is a misnomer, because we've existed from the beginning. But to say we pre-existed in the first earth age, that we can say. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, following verse 28, God foreordained many people. Why? Because they earned it in the first earth age. And as it would say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, God would say, "I chose you before the foundations of this earth." That itself means predestination, preexistence, and foreordination. Read Romans 8, start with about 24, 26. Many times a Christian doesn't even know what to pray for. Therefore, God will intercede in a predestined life. Booker from, I think that's Illinois. First Timothy chapter four verse five. Can you please explain this to me? The fifth verse states that all of God's animals are sanctified. A lot of people might say, well, that means we can eat them all. No, back up to verse 3. What does it say? So don't let anybody judge you in marriage. And don't let anybody judge you in eating food that God created to be received. He didn't create all food to be received. The word sanctified, as it is utilized in the verse you're referring to, verse 5, means set aside for use. Set aside for use for what? Whatever God created it for. He creates a scavenger to clean filth off the earth. And that's good. It's sanctified for that. And God looked and it was good. But don't eat the scavenger. He did not create it to be received. Judy from Florida, was Cain a hybrid since Satan was his father? Yes. He was a hybrid in many ways. He was chased from their very being. Avernum from Kentucky. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Can you please explain Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7? Thank you. Please God and not man. Okay. If you please, this, many people misunderstand, you're supposed to please God and not man. Don't be a man pleaser. You see, a lot of people say, well, I like to get along with people. Well, if you're pleasing God, you will get along with the people you're supposed to. Okay. The rest, it doesn't matter. If you're pleasing God, good people will accept you. You don't have to worry about it. You are accepted. So that's what the chapter 6, verse 7 means, is don't be a man pleaser, but please God, and then people that love God will be pleased with you. Okay, that simple. But always please God first. It's from Him that all blessings flow. Benny from California, can you tell me how old is our spirit? Since God knew us before we were born, when did He create our spirit? Well, you know, maybe, Benny, if you would read Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom speaks. Wisdom was with God way back at the beginning. And wisdom kind of gives you a general run of when in that layout, that not by date, but by chronological order, when God created the very man himself, the souls. Lee from Wisconsin. What are the only two names for our Creator? My belief is that they are Yahweh and Emmanuel, Yahweh for Christ. Well, you're pretty close. Yahweh is the sacred name. Comes from the etymology of I am that I am. It means he's going to be wherever he wants to, whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to. But Emmanuel was God with us, but His office and why He is named Jesus is Yeshua. And Yeshua, being translated, is Yahweh's Savior. He was sent to save all. So Yahweh and Yeshua are the sacred names. Gerald from Connecticut, what are people doing with the Father that What are the people doing that are with the Father that have passed on? Can a mother, father, husband, or wife come back and help us on earth? Well, you might read Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. What does Matthew 18, 10 say? It says, as far as God's saints are concerned, that means the ones set aside, God's elect, that their angel has the face of God at any time they need help, that they need Him. And who are the angels? When one passes away, they are as the angels. Why? Because they are in spiritual bodies. So we just, that's what the scriptures say, and that's what we can take from it. Many of the people that one in cases that reproached John in the Revelator and Daniel, the prophet, they fell down and started worshiping them. They said, "Whoa, hey, don't do that. We're just like you are. We're just people. Just get up from there. Don't worship us." But they thought they were in angelic form. Why? A spiritual body. But naturally, you're not supposed to worship angels. And nor would an angel allow you that God would send here to worship him. Holly from Georgia, do you know of a place in the Old Testament where it talks of the five-month period? Well, yes, I do. It's been adjusted a little bit, but in the Old Testament, you can read it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It's speaking of the gap theory, the 70th week. A week is 7 days, and it lets you know that 7 days are split in half, 3.5 and 3.5. This is why that Satan's same period of time given in moons, which he's, because he's of the night, 42 months, that's 3.5 years. Okay. And then Christ, in teaching concerning the end times, and because God does love his children, especially the elect, he said, "For your sake, I've shortened it." And Revelation chapter 9, of course, tells us what it was shortened to. Actually, if you want to be very technical, the life of the consumer, the locust consumer, is 5 months. And you are told in Revelation chapter 9 that Satan will be here for 5 months with his locust army. So if you really look at in the depth, the Old Testament says it in that respect concerning the locust army. You have to know a little bit about not only horticulture that the locust consumes, but the locust itself. 5 months. Sarah from Kentucky, thank you so much for your ministry. You're very welcome. I learned more from you than any. Well, thank you. Where in the Bible does it say Passover is a high Sabbath? Well, actually, Passover became a high Sabbath to Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Because Christ became our Passover. It doesn't get any higher than that in worshiping Passover. It was the blood of the Lamb placed on the door that caused the death angel to pass over. It is the blood of Christ on the cross that causes Satan to have to pass over God's elect. He's got nothing with us. Marcia from California, thank you. And your staff for broadcast, you're so welcome. I have been a student for several, okay, good to have you aboard. I have a question about Revelation chapter 16, 21, about the great hailstones, hailstorm rather. The hailstones are over 100 pounds. What will this hailstorm destroy? Will this hailstorm destroy all man-made structures on earth? Or a part of the earth's, is it a part of the earth's rejuvenation? No. Rejuvenation comes in dimensions, okay? We are now not in the dimension of the spiritual bodies, or spiritual earth even. But where do the hailstones fall? Only against the enemy, not God's children. There are two separate places that the hailstones will be released. Armageddon, that's the valley of Megiddo, and Haman Gog, the valley of Gog, which is two different wars, two different people, both fought by the living God, and he will destroy. Can you imagine, they say there's no God, he shows up and drops 100 pounds of ice on them, just rains it down. They're going to know there's a God. Nicole from New Mexico, I hope you can answer this on the air. My first question is about the lifespan of the locust. I get confused about it. I think that we are in the time of the fifth vial, the time of hunger for God's word, and the locusts show up and eat it up before it can be consumed by people who need to hear it. Is that right? Well, they may try to, but there is nothing going to stop God's elect from teaching the truth, even down to the being delivered up before the Antichrist. The lifespan of the locust in the stage that you're concerned with is 5 months, Revelation chapter 9. But also, that's not just in the Bible. That's an actual fact when you study the lifespan of the locust. Second question is about the difference between a vial, a seal, and a trump. A vial is poured out upon the earth so as it's something that happens. A seal is what we believe, and the trump is to announce from the word. Is that right? You got it. But the seal is when you study God's word and you seal it in your mind. This is why God says to Satan in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, don't you dare touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. It means that know the truth. Why? You can't touch us. Why? We're not taken by him. We find him not to be tempting, but an abomination. We're his enemy, and he's our enemy. But a trumpet always announces to execute the command. That means when it comes to pass. The vials really are not poured out until near the end, because that is the wrath of God when the final day comes. But they do communicate at the sixth of each. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Why? Because it makes his day. It's the letter he sent to you. When you bless him, he's certainly going to bless you. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God, he will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age. The creation itself. When were the races created? You see, all the races were created separately, and you'll find that documented in these particular tapes. How and what was the sin in the garden? It will be discussed in this series also. This is a must for the serious Bible scholar, for if you do not understand how it was in the beginning, you certainly will never understand the end. I think you will find this series very rewarding, and certainly will answer questions that no doubt you've always wondered about. Genesis 1:46. Hey, I know you're going to enjoy this series.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Hey, we're ready to get back into our Father's Word, talking about the rupture doctrine. I'm sorry, the rapture theory, as we get right into it here today. And document. Now look, men say this and men say that. If you're going to follow Christ, follow what he says. And in this 13th chapter,